I wanted to kind of ask you some just your thoughts on some things going around the National Hockey League. Obviously, the Carolina Hurricanes, they lose again last night in Vancouver. They've not yet won on the season. Their record here, 0-6-2. And if an 0-6-2 record could look flattering, I think it does for the Carolina Hurricanes. They've got a new coach. They've changed the general manager. I know there's injuries, but what possible solution is there in Carolina?
Connor McDavid, there's a start. Best phenom that is available in the past decade, and they're in the sweepstakes. Although I did watch Buffalo-Toronto last night, and Buffalo is equally as dreadful. They had a whopping 10 shots on Bernier, a Leaf team that was just kind of free-falling, and that was their effort. So they've had, Carolina has they've played a lot of road games to date. I think they've got 6 road games under their belt. That's, to 2 home dates. So it's tough when you've got a crappy team and you don't get matchups and you're on the road and you've got to put the wrong players on the ice against the other team's best players, then the results are going to be what they are. But they're not getting any saves, they can't defend, and their best player is Yuri Tolusti. That doesn't make for a successful start to a season. But Connor McDavid, if they're in those sweepstakes, or Eichel, and they get one of those two players, and it looks like they're the front runners for them, that's a pretty good start to rebuilding your franchise.
And you wonder how they got to this point, because it's not as though they were strong cup contenders and traded away first-round picks or were near the bottom of the first round. They've been a middling team for a while. I know Hayden Fleury they took last year. Maybe he'll turn into a player. Jeff Skinner has played but has had injuries. You just think that because this team hasn't been a contender for so long, they shouldn't be in this sort of a predicament.
Well, there's 3 ways to improve your team, and you can do it through the draft, and you can do it at free agent day, July 1, or you could do it through trades. And if you can tell me how Jimmy Rutherford has improved the team in any of those 3 areas over the past number of years, I'll be shocked to know how.
Yeah.
I think he retired and just forgot to tell us. But the team, hasn't done the right things in those 3 areas to get better. It's kind of hung on to that 2006 when they beat the Oilers, who were a surprise team to make it. But they just have not improved their club in a decent enough way to be, a team that you look at now and say, that's the kind of player I want. Everyone wants Staal, but that's it. Conversation kind of ends there.
Well, and do they want Staal that badly anymore?
That's another issue, right? Is this a time when you can, a team like Toronto, who, and there's all kinds of buzz up here about him, they've been desperate for a big center since Sundin left. Is that a trade that you could make? And is there enough pieces in Toronto that you might say, okay, we're going to rebuild this, we're stripping it down? I mean, there's no doubt that, when you look at the East, there's 4 teams that are in. Guaranteed they're in. Montreal's in, Boston's in, you can name them. And there's about 3 that don't have a hope. Florida's one of them, Buffalo's one, Carolina's one. And the rest just fight for those last couple spots. So is it not wise then to say, all right, this is a 6-year rebuild and we're going to have to strip it down, so why not make the move? The conversation is happening. I think the bigger issue is whether Staal wants to come to a place like Toronto or whether he wants to move, because he's got some pretty strong roots in Carolina.
Does it become too easy down in Carolina? Is that why he wants to stay? And is that part of the failing for Rutherford maybe?
Well, we've seen it with other players. Roberto Luongo was playing in one of Canada's best cities for Canada's best team at the time, went to the Stanley Cup final, 1 win away from doing it, and desperately wanted to go to one team, Florida, to play in the most insignificant market and walk around in flip-flops for 365 days. I can't figure that out, because to me, I think playing in some of these bigger markets where there's a little bit more heat and a little more pressure is fun. And particularly playing for a team that you can win with. I couldn't imagine that playing in front of 3,000 people in Florida wouldn't entice you. But there are players that, playing in certain markets, it's okay to walk around and people don't know who you are. And, if you lose and you haven't won in 8 or 9 or 10, does it really matter? It's not that important. It is in certain markets. The Leafs have a bad period. The press wants to trade each one of them. That's a different pressure than Carolina.
Chatting with Glenn Healy with Sportsnet here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. You mentioned Boston as a team that is an automatic in the East, and I would agree. They are scuffling a little bit right now, 5-6. They lose in regulation at home to Minnesota last night. Is this just, is it the start of the season? Do they iron things out, or are the losses of Johnny Boychuk and now Zdeno Chara too much to overcome for them?
Well, I don't think it's too much to overcome, but I do think that the team is starting to take a different shape. And, you know, Chara, even last year in the playoffs, he's starting to slow down. That's a lot of minutes for a big guy. You know, Johnny Boychuk, yeah, he's going to be a big miss. That's salary cap that has that all over it. Rhett would know about that when Calgary played with eight guys a couple of years ago because of salary cap implications. So that's a big loss for them, there's no question. And, you know, they add players like a Seth Griffin, who's a real good young guy, very quiet, very shy. And a player that goes out the door that you don't talk a lot about is Sean Thornton, who gave them that kind of rugged look where it didn't matter where you played, he was going to be in your face. And Sean Thornton maybe was one of the guys who turned that Vancouver series around. You know, he was put into the lineup after they went down 2-0 and decided to hit everything that moved. And that turned that tide where all of a sudden Vancouver got on their heels and not on their toes. So they're a different group. It's a different makeup. And that's just the way it goes. You've got a window of opportunity to win, and their window is shrinking, and they're starting to make some roster changes that have affected the group. You know, Iginla's out. Seth Griffin's in. That's a big loss. Again, was a pretty darn good player.
Here in Calgary last night, the Flames fall in a great game against the Montreal Canadiens. We'll, you know, have a feeling we're going to be hard-pressed to beat that for entertainment value last night. And John Gaudreau was spectacular last night. 6 shots, 1 assist, plus 1. I know that on one of the recent broadcasts, I'm sure you heard from some of the Flames fans, you weren't sure about Johnny Hockey. Are you any closer now, having watched him a little bit more?
No, my point was, if you haven't scored in the NHL, you shouldn't have a nickname like Johnny Hockey. I think you need a little bit of time before you're given that nickname. He's a skilled guy. You know, he was drafted. I was never drafted in any league, so he's one step ahead of me, and he's going to be a good player. It is difficult to play in this league, you know, when you're a smaller guy and you don't have that beef on you. And it's difficult to play in the West against some of these big teams that play hard minutes against you. You know, yeah, Montreal's a softer, smaller team. That is the perfect concoction for Johnny Hockey. Perfect. Because it's not one of those games where you're playing the LA Kings. And they're going to be in your face, and it's going to be hard minutes to play against. So there's no doubt that he's an NHL player and will be around for a while, but he needs to get bigger. He needs to get stronger. And each player, when we come into this league, we recognize right away it's a man's game, and you have to make change. It's not junior anymore. It's not the NCAA. You've got to make some changes to your body type. And the best example of all would be Steven Stamkos, who is on a fitness regimen that makes him probably the most explosive player in the NHL, because he knows that it's not about making the playoffs or playing 82 games or making it in the NHL. It's about winning a cup, and that is a long marathon, a long journey.
What do you think about the training regimes now? I mean, they're a lot more sophisticated than we were playing.
Oh, gosh. You know, the first guy who started training in the summer, like, I got to find out who that guy is, because he wrecked it for everybody. You know, wasn't it great in the summer when you didn't do anything? I recall I tried out for the national junior team back in the early 80s, and I can recall the very first day I sat down it was in Queen's University with a training camp, and there was a bunch of guys that were there, and they were talking about how they skated in the summer. And I looked at them and thought, where? Who skates in the summer? And, you know, not knowing that, yeah, we skate all summer. This is about conditioning. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons I never got drafted. I went to college, and I had to kind of learn how to become a professional athlete, so to speak, because I didn't do any of that stuff. It is different, and, you know, you're going to argue whether it's, you know, are guys getting hurt more because of the way they train. I think this is something like summer hockey, where you can argue it all you want. Guess what? The horses are out of the barn. These guys are going down this road. The stakes are high. Salaries are high. And if you can get one more year out of it, or play 1 year, then the rewards are so great.
Well, I wanted to ask about Colorado. I mean, 10 games in, 2 wins. Is this were they a flash in the pan last year, or is there just waiting to wake up?
My world-class goaltending from Varlamov last year, and, you know, arguably they're the most dangerous team in both ends of the ice. And when you have world-class goaltending, you get away with it. And we saw the same thing up here in Canada. The Ottawa Senators 2 years ago had world-class goaltending, made the playoffs, and then, you know, had a pretty good playoff run. And last year, Anderson was just okay. Leonard was just okay, and look what happened to their club. So, you know, it's the same thing all around. All the teams that are in the playoffs and all the teams that are really good have really good goaltenders. And the teams that don't are teams that don't have good goaltending. And good goaltending, you know, in Pittsburgh, it led to the blowing up of a whole organization where you fire your coach and your GM and you make a bunch of moves. Just simply the fact that Fleury wasn't good enough. And I think that's the same thing in Colorado. They're just not getting that type of goaltending they had last year.
Glenn, appreciate your time, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
All right, get back on your training regime there.
We will, yeah. We'll get right on it. Appreciate it.
It's all about the beer.
That's right. Thanks, pal. There's Glenn Healy with Sportsnet.